Dana Jennings is an editor with the New York Times. Jennings grew up in a town in New Hampshire that had more cows than people when he was born. His family lived their lives to the sound of country music, which also shaped their values. Jennings revisits his memories of growing up with that sound in a book called Sing Me Back Home, Love, Death, and Country Music. Dana Jennings talked to Ann Strainchamps about his book.
What I ended up with is a call and response structure, you know, where the person suggests a song and a song suggests the person. And what I'm hoping is that, you know, when I'm writing about Grammy Jennings and writing about Patsy Cline and She's Got You, that it sets up additional resonances for the reader that wouldn't be there if I were just writing a memoir or if I were just writing about Patsy Cline.
Now, tell me something about Grammy Jennings. I mean, she's not your kind of apple pie baking sort of picture of a grandma, is she? She was kind of a hard-drinking and hard-loving woman.
Yeah, she had a hard life. I mean, she was an orphan who grew up in northern New Hampshire. When she became a teenager, she started running away from the orphanage. When she was a teenager, she contracted tuberculosis. And as far as I know, she went to the mountains for a while to get healthy. She knew what she wanted, and when she saw it, she took it. You know, there was no pretense about her. As I say in the book, you know, like Will Rogers, she never met a man she didn't like.
And a lot of these men were other women's husbands.
Sometimes, yeah. Or other, you know, other women's boyfriends. Or, you know, as I say in the book, she was often the other woman. You know, one of the conversations I'll never forget, I was in college by this time, and she had married this guy mainly for his Social Security check. You know, this is the late 70s. And I remember she was visiting us. And, you know, at that point, she was, she was probably around 70. And she was complaining to my dad about her sex life. And of course, you know, my dad didn't want to hear this. And, you know, I was standing there just kind of flabbergasted. But that's the kind of woman she was. And, mm-hmm. and she did calm down a bit when she got older. You know, fortunately, she was able to quit drinking at some point, which actually allowed me to get to know her.
I've got your picture that you gave to me, and it's signed with love, just like it used to be. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got your picture, she's got you.
Well, tell me how you think the Patsy Cline's song, She's Got You, fits her. It's such a sad song.
Well, I think her life was a sad life. You know, there was never enough money. When I think about her life, you know, at best it's twilight and it's often after midnight. And, you know, I think she was a woman of dark reveries. And I think Patsy Cline's ballads lend themselves to those dark reveries. And I, you know, and one of the things I love about country music and Patsy Cline's music especially is how it's music for adults, or it was music for adults. It's certainly pop music, but it, you know, it wasn't pop music aimed at someone under 20 years old.
What do you like about this song in particular?
It's a neat combination of being both plush and bitter, you know, because she did have such a plush voice. The orchestration around the music, you know, is vivid and beautiful. And so you have these trappings, and then you have these very bitter truths coming from Patsy as she sings the song. And I think, you know, my grandmother, first of all, as an adult woman, could respond to those bitter truths. But on the other hand, just as a listener, she could take some solace in the beauty of Cline's voice and in, you know, in the beauty of the music.
Let's talk a little about your Uncle Lloyd, who shows up in your chapter on country music songs about drinking.
Well, he was just one of these kind of classic rural guys. You know, he'd work just enough so he had a little bit of money in his pocket on Friday night and Saturday night. You know, he was handsome in a very country way. You know, he had very dark, thick hair. And, you know, and on Saturday night, he'd put on his black jeans and his black shirt with the old-fashioned kind of lightning stitches on the breast pockets. And, You know, he'd pile his hair up as high as he possibly could. And, you know, basically, he went out to get drunk and find a woman. Sometimes he would go with his woman, you know, to go out. But on Saturday night, he got to be kind of a bar predator, but not in... he was definitely, you know, he was kind of a handsome weasel.
So the song that you kind of fit with Uncle Lloyd is "There Stands the Glass" by Webb Pierce.
There stands the glass that will ease all my pain, that will settle my brain. It's my first one to take. There stands the glass.
So what can you tell us about that song?
One of the reasons I picked it is, you know, Uncle Lloyd liked to fancy himself looking like Webb Pierce or Farron Young, kind of 1950s honky-tonk guys. And "There Stands the Glass" is just, it was the first, you know, really major country hit that addressed drinking in a deep way. I mean, there had certainly been drinking songs before, but it... there's a lot of pain in Pierce's voice. And, you know, one of the things that contributed to my uncle dying was alcoholism. You know, my uncle understood at a very young age that he was an alcoholic. And at certain times, you know, he could, through willpower, he could keep himself from drinking. But he, you know, as we understand now, he didn't understand that he had a disease and that, you know, that he could have gone into a program or some kind of treatment. And I think "There Stands the Glass" helped him understand himself in some way. And I think he could really identify with the narrator of the song. You know, Uncle Lloyd was a guy who'd get up in the morning and drink coffee brandy for breakfast. You know, that's the kind of life that he lived.
What does Webb Pierce sing about the song?
The singer is looking at, I assume, a glass of beer. It looks really enticing. And there is a momentary struggle in the song where the singer knows he shouldn't pick up the glass and start drinking, but that glass of beer is just too seductive.
There stands the glass, fill it up to the brim, till my troubles grow dim. It's my first one to take.
About a whole category of songs that I'd never really thought about before, murder songs. And there's one in particular you write about, Knoxville Girl. It was recorded by the Louvin Brothers in 1956. What can you tell me about this song?
You know, it's one of the darkest songs in the whole country catalog. It tells the story of a murder of a young woman by her boyfriend and possibly her, you know, fiancé. And it never explains why. And its roots go back to, you know, the 16th or 17th century, to an old English murder ballad. You know, first of all, the song itself is sung by the Louvin Brothers is just chilling and otherworldly. And then for it to be a single in 1956, it's so jarring and strange. It would be as if some early English novel were to somehow sneak onto the bestseller lists again.
It's a fascinating song. I was kind of puzzling over it because you're right, the words are really creepy in the story. You know, here's this guy who's going, walking by a river with this beautiful girl he loves and for no good reason drowns her. But, you know, the tone is sort of cheerful, even faintly happy. Don't you think? You know, he's singing, go down, Knoxville girl. It's sort of like he's happy to watch her sink and drown.
Actually, you're right. The song is a little quicker than you'd expect, you know, as far
as... Considering the subject matter.
Right.
Well, I wondered if it's like a piece of black humor. It struck me as, you know, like a musical version of a Coen Brothers film.
I think you could listen to it that way. That's a good insight. You know, it's one of those old story songs. You know, it's a tale that's been in the air for centuries. And who knows, the Leuvens, that there's probably verses to that song that exist in the hills and hollows that none of us have ever heard, or, you know, there are verses to that song that are secreted away somewhere in Wales or Ireland or Britain.
They carried me down to Knoxville and put me in a cell. My friends all tried to get me out, but none could go my bail. I'm here to waste my life away down in this dirty old jail, because I murdered that Knoxville girl, the girl I love so well.
The Leuven Brothers with Knoxville Girl. Dana Jennings is the author of Sing Me Back Home, Love, Death, and Country Music. He spoke with Anstrain Champs.